Welcome into a crossover edition from the Music City Miracles feed. I'm Jimmy Morris, MCM Radio. Tonight I have with me Justin Graver from Titans Film Room Radio. Justin, how are you tonight?
I am very good. Thank you for bringing me on. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, it's great to have you on. If you haven't heard Justin's show yet with James, Titans Film Room Radio, you need to be checking it out. It's very good. They've been pumping out a ton of content. So, again, if you subscribe to the Music City Miracles feed, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll get both shows. So if you haven't done that already, please go ahead and do that so that you can get those shows. Obviously, tonight we are here to recap the Titans week two preseason game against the Patriots. Titans end up losing that one 22-17 on a fairly late touchdown from the Patriots. But, once we get down to that point in the game, there's not a whole lot of people still paying attention. The biggest thing, obviously, that we wanted to see was kind of the first quarter of this game when the Titans had their first-string offense on the field. And I have to say that, coming away from this one, I feel a lot better about where the offense is than I did after the game last week. The Titans did have kind of a rough first drive, but then came back and did some good things after that. Marcus Mariota, I think, at least for a week, right, can quiet down that national narrative. There's a quarterback competition here. And if you followed us, either our show, Justin's show, MuseumMiracles.com, any of that stuff, we've talked about how that's ridiculous. There's not a quarterback controversy. But, last week, if you hadn't watched anything else, hadn't paid attention to anything else, and you just tuned in and watched that game, I can understand how you might want to jump to that conclusion. But I thought Marcus did a really good job tonight. And I think, when you watch those two guys play, Mariota and Tannehill, Mariota definitely looked like the superior quarterback tonight.
I totally agree. And this game kind of, even though the Titans lost the final score, it felt like a win for the team just because the first team, like you said, they played well and there were some penalties that were going on that were kind of questionable towards the end of the game when the defense may or may not have had what might have been some stops. So ultimately the result doesn't really matter, but Mariota's performance matters to us because we've been talking about it so much. And I thought he did great. 6 for 9, 63 yards, and the touchdown. On that touchdown pass, it appeared very much to be a no-look pass, which, not exactly the same as like a basketball no-look pass where you're really not looking the same direction at all and not as extreme as Patrick Mahomes' no-look pass last year, but he is looking off the safety to give himself a throwing lane so that he can have a wide-open window for Delanie Walker. And to see him out there operating with that kind of confidence, the confidence to throw a no-look pass again, which, we've seen a lot of out of him over the years, but not as frequently the past couple seasons. I'm sure that having Delanie Walker out there helps, and it was great to see the full stable of weapons, even though Derrick Henry didn't play, and Adam Humphries, I'm not sure if he actually took any snaps, but it was great to see A.J. Brown, even though he only had that one target. Mariota, obviously showing trust in him already, just threw it up to him and drew a pass interference penalty on a play where it looked like it was going to be a sack, and Marcus did a great job to escape pressure. And Roger Saffold had that one play where he got blown up completely by a fifth-round rookie, which obviously isn't the ideal way to start his tenure with the Titans, but I chalk that up to just shaking off some rust. We saw something like that when Logan Ryan's first play with the Titans, he got burned for a touchdown in the preseason, and then Malcolm Butler did almost the same thing last year. So I think that's maybe just a rite of passage for big-name free agents with the Titans for their first play to just not be a good one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It does seem like it kind of happens every year that the big-ticket guy comes in and has something embarrassing. But, hey, you'd rather get it out of the way in the preseason game when it doesn't matter than in the regular season. So, we'll take that. Like you said, I think the best thing about this was seeing Mariota and Delanie Walker back on the field together. Like you said, however that pass went down, you understand the confidence that Mariota has in Delanie right there to know that he's going to be in the spot that he's supposed to be in. I mean, it was just a really good throw, really, really well-designed play by Arthur Smith. So a lot of good things from that. Yeah, A.J. Brown, I thought he looked good. Like you said, the defensive pass interference. And then there was another play, I think you highlighted it on Twitter, where A.J. Brown got a great release off the line and probably would have been open for a touchdown. Marcus just didn't have time to get to him because there was so much pressure in his face. But, yeah, and that's – yeah,
Tannehill.
Tannehill. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, the biggest thing, like you said, is seeing Marcus out there playing with confidence. And Mike and I talked about that a little bit when we talked on Thursday night. I still believe that the guy that we saw, you know, in the first 2 years, Marcus Mariota, I still believe that guy's in there somewhere. And I think so much of the fact that he hasn't been that guy the last couple of years has just been the confidence. I don't know if it's the leg, the offense, you know, whatever it may be. He hasn't looked like he's been out there and been in command. And, you know, we saw that a little bit tonight. Now, again, everything that we see right now is small sample size, so you don't want to get too high or too low based on anything that you see in these games. But anytime that we see Marcus out there operating with command of the offense, that's a good takeaway, and that's something that he can build on, and hopefully you see that, you know, go over into the regular season. After the first guys, like we said, you know, A.J. Brown, good to see him out there, you know, after he missed a bunch of camp with the hamstring injury. So hopefully that's behind him and he's ready to go. Jeremy McNichols looked good again tonight. And he's a guy that nobody was really talking about once camp started. But a guy that's been showing up, you know, there was a lot of talk about Alex Barnes, about a guy, you know, that could push to make this roster. And I thought he ran okay tonight, but everybody talked about how slow he's looked on the practice field. McNichols, I thought he showed out really good again tonight, had the really nice touchdown run. And he's a guy that is at least making a case to be on this roster. I don't know if they keep more than three running backs. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, David Flewillen are all on this roster. I don't know if they're going to keep a fourth guy, but McNichols has definitely given them something to think about, and that's, you know, a good thing. When you bring guys into camp like this, you want to have a bunch of guys in here that make them make tough decisions. And Terry and I have talked a lot about this, about, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was hard. If you sat down and did a 53-man roster projection, there were so many bad players on the roster, it was hard to get to 53. So you like to be at a spot where you've got, you know, 56, 57 guys that you feel like you could keep on the roster. And I don't know, McNichols is just one of those guys. It seems like he's going to make that push. I don't know if there's enough spots for him. We'll have to see how it all kind of shakes out. But he's definitely a guy that is making a case for himself. I think you'll definitely see him back here on the practice squad if he does get cut and if nobody else tries to pick him up. But, you know, a guy that's just a cool story that, like I said, nobody's really talking about coming in.
Yeah, and I actually thought all the running backs tonight ran pretty well. And if you look at the box score, Alex Barnes led the way, 7 carries for 42 yards. And Akeem Hunt, who they just picked up, had 23 yards on just 4 carries. McNichols, on the other hand, in the box score, 6 carries for 13 yards. But that's why you can't just look at the box score, because he had a 30-yard touchdown run called back due to a kind of ticky-tack holding penalty. I guess I could have seen it on Firkser, but at the end of the day, he also had that catch and run for the touchdown. I think McNichols, based on the rep distribution, is clearly ahead of everyone else. And I think it'll be one of those things where it comes down to, do they want to keep 6 receivers or another tight end or 4 running backs or whatever it is. And I think if it was up to me, I would expect him to be on the final roster right now, because of how Derrick Henry hasn't played yet. And I don't, maybe if they don't fully trust that whatever he has is going to go away completely before the season starts. And then the fact that Flewellen is playing a fullback role now too means that he's going to be on the field a lot. And if he has to move to a running back role at some point, then somebody else has to play fullback. So it would be nice to have a guy like McNichols, who can also play on special teams, come in there. And Flewellen's injured, by the way. So
yeah.
If these guys aren't all healthy before the season starts, then I definitely think McNichols has staked a claim.
Yeah, for sure. And the whole roster cutdown thing is going to be really interesting for this team, because you've got two guys that are obviously a part of your long-term 53 in Taylor Lewan and Jeffrey Simmons that are not going to be available to you at the beginning of the year. Lewan, obviously, with the 4-game suspension. Simmons with ACL, you know, you're expecting it to be at least, you know, 10 or so weeks before he gets back. So they're going to kind of be able to keep the 55 with those two guys being off to the side. And like you said, it's just, you get into some of the interesting, you know, know, are you gonna, how many tight ends are you going to keep? How many receivers are you going to keep? But I think you did make a really great point there with the injuries. We haven't seen Derrick Henry. You know, they said he was working on a side field this past week, so maybe he can get back into action this week. Maybe you see him a little bit Sunday night against the Steelers. I don't know. I guess it just depends on how much he practices. I doubt we would see him in the fourth preseason game. I don't think he necessarily needs preseason. But like you're saying, then you got Flew Ellen, who's also hurt, you know, maybe playing that H-back role. If they feel confident that he can play that role, then maybe you don't have to keep that extra tight end. So there's a lot of moving parts with this roster, and there's going to be some interesting decisions. Defensive line's another one. We'll talk about that in a minute. That, you know, they're gonna have some decisions they're gonna have to make. But again, it's a good thing seeing competition. Anything else tonight on the offensive side of the ball that stood out to you?
Yeah, just while we're talking about the roster, I think one of those guys that they're going to have to consider that may be a one of the guys who may benefit from those from Taylor Lewan's situation and Jeffrey Simmons is Logan Woodside, who had a pretty strong preseason week one. But tonight, he made a few good throws, but overall, it was kind of a struggle to watch him lead the offense this week. Last week, he played very well. This week, I mean, he finished 4 of 13. So not a great showing from Woodside. So that's just going to make it more difficult, I think, because now we're not really sure if he's worth keeping, but he might be. And with the injury prone quarterbacks, who knows what's going to happen with that position.
Yeah, that really is interesting. And like you said, this is another one of those reasons to not go too far one way or the other based on one preseason game. Because, you know, after last week, everybody had him on the roster. Titans are keeping 3 quarterbacks, no doubt about it. I'm sure that'll swing back the other way this week. You know, he's going to get some more chances. I mean, he'll get a lot of run against the Steelers, and he may get the whole game against the Bears. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get a good long look at him. And, you know, they obviously like him. I mean, they had him in last year, brought him back this year. I don't know if they think they can sneak him on the practice squad. I think they would definitely try to do that if they don't keep him. Like you said, you've got 2 quarterbacks that have pretty significant injury histories. So you'd like to have a third guy around that knows the offense, they could step in if need be. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing. And then, you know, the offensive line, like you said, I mean, kind of a rough snap there for Saffold, but Jack Conklin looked really good. And that's really encouraging because, you know, so much of the talk before the Lewan suspension was about the battle at right tackle, or are they going to move Conklin to guard? I mean, there was so much surrounding that stuff. Well, all that's quieted down because, you know, Conklin's playing right tackle, at least for the first month of the season, because Dennis Kelly's got to play left with Lewan being out. But the good news is Conklin has looked really good in these first 2 games. He looks to be healthy. And I think that I'm feeling better based off of these couple of games that it was Conklin still not being healthy last year that was the problem, and you know, not some deficiency in skills. So, you know, the offensive line was supposed to be one of the things we were really going to be watching. That's changed a little bit with Lewan not being out there, at least for the first month. So they've had to transition some things there. There's some interesting things. I mean, they've been shifting some other guys around, you know, kind of with the twos. So, I mean, that's interesting to watch, I guess. But, you know, that first group, I mean, I feel pretty confident at this point that you're going to have Kelly, Saffold, Jones, Pomfield, and Conklin as your starters when they take the field week one.
And I thought Pomfield played pretty well tonight. He was manhandling the guy that he was blocking on the touchdown pass to Delanie Walker. He got the start tonight, and he played a little bit again with a third group. So that was nice to see him performing well, because he is kind of a question mark at right guard. And Corey Levin played guard, and Jameel Douglas played center in this game. So that was just an interesting swap.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just trying to get as much look at those guys as they can. And, you know, a guy like Jameel Douglas, the best way for him to make this roster is to show that he can play multiple positions. So, and just again, that's interesting to watch. Now that, you know, I think camp is officially over, we're not going to know as much about what's going on because the practices are not going to be open to the public anymore. But they're going to kind of keep the rotation going there to see who's the best fit. But I think we know who the starting 5 will be once the season opens. All right, that'll do it for the offensive side of the ball. Coming up, we will continue our conversation with what we noticed on defense. All right, so I thought Rashawn Evans had a really nice night. You know, Rashawn Evans was a guy that missed the whole training camp last year. I don't think he played at all in the preseason either. You saw him get started a little bit slow when the season started, but then coming on at the end of the year, I mean, he looked like the guy that they drafted, you know, a first-round draft pick. Continued that progression tonight. So good to see him. And, you know, that just – the inside linebackers, when you've got him, Jayon Brown, Wesley Woodyard all there – you've got those three guys. It's one of your strongest position groups. We know Evans brings some versatility. He can rush off the edge and that kind of stuff. So, you know, good to see him out there playing like the guy that they picked him to be, having a healthy offseason, all that kind of stuff. So I thought he was the guy that definitely stood out. I thought Sharif Finch also stood out. You know, I don't know how much run you can give him. I think he definitely has to be a rotational piece, but he forced a holding call in the end zone tonight that resulted in a safety. So, you know, and I thought he showed up. He was in the backfield a lot last week as well. So, you know, good to see him continue to get on that role. And that was a really nice find by John Robinson.
Yeah, and one of the announcers, I can't remember if it was Dan Hilly or Charles Davis who said this, but somebody said that it showed how much confidence the Titans had in Sharif Finch because they didn't address the outside linebacker position in the draft until the fifth round. And that's proving to be true. I think your starters on day one against the Cleveland Browns are going to be Sharif Finch on one side and Harold Landry on the other. And Cameron Wake will probably play as a rotational rusher, whereas Finch is going to be out there probably a lot with Kamilai Correa rotating in as one of your main pieces on the D-line. So it is good to see him continuing to build on his strong preseason so far.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, that was the thing that I kept harping on. I thought they needed to address it earlier in the draft, that they did. But to your point, I mean, obviously they have a lot of confidence in him. The defensive line is another position that I think is interesting. You know, there's a lot of talk about Austin Johnson, a guy that definitely has not lived up to his draft status. Vrabel had some good things to say about him during the week, but you know, they've got a couple of guys like an Isaiah Mack who showed up again tonight. And I don't know, I haven't sat down and really gone through a projection, looked at the number of defensive linemen. Like I said, all that's going to be in flux with Simmons and all that as well. But, you know, you see a guy like Isaiah Mack making plays in this game, and I didn't notice anything from Austin Johnson. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he can push a guy off the roster. You know, you got a guy that's not drafted versus a guy that was a pretty high draft pick. Again, you know, that they don't. There's not a lot of starting spots to watch, starting, you know, battles this preseason. But some of these, you know, second, third team guys back into the roster things are interesting. And I think Isaiah Mack is definitely, again, at least going to give them something to think about.
I agree. And I thought that a guy like Amani Bledsoe, who's been getting some reps with the first team, might have been somebody to watch tonight. But I didn't really notice him do anything. He has no tackles in the box score, so I'm not sure if he's how he helped his case tonight. Probably not very much. A guy like Matt Dickerson seems like a pretty solid lock to make the roster at this point. Daquan Jones was playing very well with the first unit out there. And I think that the D-line is going to be strong. And, of course, there's Jeffrey Simmons, who will be coming back, who knows at what point, sometime in the season. So somebody is going to... This is where somebody probably gets an extra roster spot here. They're going to keep one more than they would have, most likely, just for the rotation. So I think Isaiah Mack, right now, based on 2 weeks of preseason, is probably the guy that gets the spot. He's been really impressive.
Yeah, and Amani Hooker, man, he was so close to having a pick six from one end of the field to the other. I think he looked up and saw a lot of green in front of him and didn't catch the ball. But, you know, a guy that has, you know, they have done a lot of stuff with him from what we've heard in practice, playing a lot of different positions. He can play the nickel a little bit. Obviously, you know, he's a good safety as well. So another guy that gives them kind of a versatile piece. There wasn't a whole lot else that stood out on the defense tonight. I mean, you've got a Patriots team that didn't play Tom Brady. Julian Edelman didn't play. You know, the run defense, I think at halftime, Mike Vrabel said it got a little leaky there at the end. But, you know, when you've got the twos in, it's kind of tough to tell what else is going on out there. But was there anything else that stood out to you on defense?
A couple of guys that were impressive. Number one, David Long Jr., who led the team with 8 total tackles. He was all over the place, flying in on a lot of plays. Like you said, the Titans' run defense was kind of leaky, and that's pretty much why they lost the game, because after the offense had to punt with about 3.5 minutes left, the Patriots were able to run out the clock because the defense couldn't get off the field. But I also thought that Kareem Orr played pretty well, and the announcers were talking about him a bit too. He's the guy that's created a lot of buzz in camp. Didn't really know much about him before this training camp started, but he's shown off some good ball skills and some good instincts. And he's another guy that's one of those dark horses at the back end of the roster. And one last guy was just the Patriots receiver, Jacoby Myers, was very impressive to me tonight.
Yeah, he got a lot of talk on the Titans broadcast. Obviously, that's what we were watching. They got a lot of good things to say about him. So, yeah, that's a guy to watch. And we know that, you know, Tom Brady can make guys that we've never heard of into household names. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing for him. And, you know, they got Josh Gordon back now. I mean, I guess he got reinstated. So we'll see how all that goes. But they don't have – you know, Edelman's hurt, but I mean, I think they're expecting him to be ready to go for the regular season. They drafted N'Keal Harry. So yeah, they don't have a lot of household names there for in their receiving core. So it'll be interesting to see what a guy like that can do and if he does get a chance to make that team. So yeah, I mean, I thought overall, when it comes to preseason, you know, you don't want to go winless. I think we can all agree on that. So it was good to get a win last week, and not that it really matters, but again, it feels better when you don't go winless in the preseason. You come away from this one feeling good about the guys that are, you know, actually going to be out there once the games count. So, I mean, I think that's the most important thing. I haven't seen anything about injuries. I saw something on Twitter that Adoree Jackson had a ice pack on his arm at one point. So I don't know how severe that is. If anybody else has gotten hurt that you heard?
I saw Adoree standing on the sideline with like a minute or two left in the game on the broadcast with no ice pack, kind of like just walking around. He looked totally normal. So okay. I don't know if that was a temporary thing or what's going on, but he looked fine.
Gotcha.
And I didn't see anything about injuries for anyone else. I know Mariota's back probably hurts because he did a front flip into the end zone and landed pretty hard.
Yeah, I don't. Can we not do that in the preseason? I mean, it's just you see him go in the air, and it's just like, you know, that's exactly what we need. But I mean, you like it, right? You know, you like that the guys out there willing to do it. And I think with Charles Davis talking when he said, you know, everybody on the sideline saying that's our quarterback. You know, so I mean, I don't think from everything that we've heard, nobody in that locker room has any issue with him anyway. But really good to see him. You know, again, being confident to take off and do that now, you'd like to just see him slide or something, but I think, you know, they talk about this a lot too. You can't play in these games not to get hurt, because that's when you get hurt, is when you're doing something like that. So, I mean, you respect that piece of it, but yeah, when he goes flying in the air, it's like, oh gosh, here we go. But
if that was the 2-point conversion against the Chargers last year, then yes, by all means.
Right, yes, absolutely. Yeah, but tonight, just go ahead and just toss that out of bounds and go run off to the sideline. But yeah, anyway. It was good. Like I said, you walk away from this feeling good. And the number one thing that you're looking to get out of the preseason is to, you know, start the season with nobody that you expected to be a significant contributor to your team hurt. And so the Titans get through one more week without something like that happening. We know next week the starters will get the most run, probably won't play at all in week four if they, you know, stay true to what Vrabel did last year. So, you know, we'll get an extended look at everybody on Sunday Night Football. And that'll be cool to have the Sunday Night Football broadcast from Nashville. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will be here. So that'll be cool to see. Unfortunately, as it stands right now, don't have any primetime games during the year. But, you know, if the Titans can get off to a fast start, then you might see them flexed on a game later in the year. And really, if the offense looks good, that'll be the best chance to get to see another game like that. Any other final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, it felt like a win, even though it wasn't, like I said at the beginning. So that's a good feeling coming out of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Felt good about those guys, and like I said, nobody got hurt, so that's a good thing. All right, what do you and James have coming up this week?
We will be doing a pretty in-depth review coming out on Monday morning, talking about players that stood out after a thorough rewatch of the tapes. So look forward to that this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, subscribe to the feed, Music City Miracles, wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get both of these shows. Follow Justin on Twitter. He's at Titans Film Room. I'm at J Morris MCM. You can follow the MCM account, which is run by Justin at Titans MCM. Justin, man, thanks so much for jumping on pretty short notice to help me out with this.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, good times. All right. So, like I said, MusicCityMiracles.com. We'll have plenty more on this game, plenty more podcasts coming your way this week as well. So, for Justin, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you later.